Here are some interesting alternatives for Dafyomi. The first recording is of today's Daf from the 13th cycle, which was done within about a half an hour. And that's followed by a very fast review, about 5 minutes, allowing you to review the entire Daf quickly. Followed by the same Daf from either the previous cycle's Dafyomi, or perhaps even from 2 cycles ago, Dafyomi. Different ambiance, usually done in greater detail. You can choose one or the other as your first Daf, the other one as a review Daf. But whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim is Daf Kufhei. We're holding our Kuf Dalet on the debate, 4 lines up from the bottom, right at the beginning of the line. Tana, continuing on with the dinim of Ketiva, Higia Ot Echad Chayav. If you just fix one broken letter, you're already Chayav. What? Hashta Katav Ot Echad Patur. We've already discussed the case where you write only one letter, and we said you're Patur. How could you possibly be more Chayav for fixing a letter than for writing a letter? Higia Ot Echad Chayav. The case would be where you remove the top, little thin top of the chet, and you turn the chet into 2 zayins. To say one of the rayot to the way that we have a meaning of writing. The svardim don't write the chet like that. So, in that case, by fixing a letter, which was supposed to be 2 zayins, and accidentally they had gotten connected on top to become a chet, you fixed it back and thereby made 2 zayins. Rav Amar, kegon shenitalo letago shel dalet va'asa oresh. Let's say that a dalet was written instead of a resh. So what you can do is you can remove the right side of the roof of the dalet and make it into a resh. And how is that going to be an answer? It's talking about that you were metaken the entire sefer, says Rashi, by doing this. And since we said, even according to the Rabbanan, if you were mashlim a sefer, that's considered to be a chiyev, and a machlokas we've shown him over there in terms of makabe patish, or the actual din of ketivah. But in any event, that's what it would be talking about. Now, all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, that doesn't make any sense. Then you don't have to introduce a new case to say that. All Rava should have said, Kigon Shetikna, a sefer bekach. But to bring the ridiculous one case out of 10 million possibilities that you fix the dalet to turn it into a resh, it seems crazy. Therefore, the Ritva says there was another girsa here, which was, Shinitolola Tagosha Dalet Va'asa'ola Yud Resh. Meaning there were supposed to be a Yud and a resh. They got connected so that the Yud became stuck to the dalet so that it looked like a dalet. But the Yud and the resh together make an even head of the dalet. You removed that and you separated them. So you ended up with a yud and a resh. Thereby, he's just giving another example of 2 otiyot that can be made out of 1. Tana, nitkaven lichtov ot echad, somebody only had an intent to write 1 letter. Va'olu biyado shtayim, you would be chayev. But what do you mean you'd be chayev? The Mishnah says beferish you'd be potter. Yes, but it depends. Lokasha, hadaboy ziyunet. One is talking about, well, when you made the 2, that they still were not shleimim. Why? Because a Zion, for instance, in the case of the Chet and the Zion needs a Zion on top. Rashi calls the Tag in Zionim because the Tura of the Tag is to be a little Zion. So in a case where it was a letter that required Ziyun, so then it's not considered to be shleim in this case. And if it didn't require Ziyun, others say, there's a whole issue over here. Are the tagin ma'akev the tzirat ha'ot or not? So why would they be ma'akev over here? Since apparently they're not ma'akev the tzirat ha'ot. But some try to bring a riot from our sugya that without the proper ziyun on an oath, it doesn't have a shame of an oath. Many of the Rishonim taina that it's talking about over here that his kavona lechatchila was writing with zayin, in which case it wouldn't have been an oath shalem in terms of what he's writing. It's always contextual. And so the other case where he would be chayev is the lo ba'i ziyuni. Fine. This, by the way, extends so far that there is even a shita, which seems to be connected to the Mishnah that says beferish, katav ot echad, in any ketav, in any language. There's a shita which, fascinatingly, is brought by the Ramah, but only as a chumra, which is that you're only chayiv on Lashon HaKadosh b'ktav Ashurit. And if you write in, even if you write in handwriting in Lashon HaKadosh, certainly if you write English lettering, but also Greek, because the din in the Ketiva Sefer Torah specifically, which relates to the issue I just raised, is it kosher without ziyun? That's why the ziyun is introduced here in the Gemara. So according to that approach, the Ramah only brings it where there's a heter to tell a goy to write a contract on a home in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos. So he says the only heter was to write it not in Lashon HaKadosh and not in Greek. Because of this sheet. So in other words, he's bringing only lechumra. So in other words, Amir Lahakum to add already this kula that it was an Amir Lahakam that was being written in a language which would have only been a Darabonan, even if it was done on purpose by you. So they were Matir Amir Lahakam. So it's like an additional Chumrah, not a Kula, the way he brings it. Because Lamaisa, nobody brings it, even though it's brought by, this is the father of the Ravya who came up with this Chidush, Yolat Tayin. It's brought by the Ravya, it's brought by the Arzim, but nobody else ever mentioned such a thing, and nobody explains how he understands the Mishnah. I mean, so what is the Mishnah saying? And the Akronim, the Poskim, speak out the fact that it's astounding, because what is it, the meaning of such a thing in light of the Mishnah? Where do we find another sheet of the Gemara? Okay, Katav Ot Echad Notrikun, if you write a single letter that is there as part of an acrostic, or it itself is a single letter, acronym, and we said Notrikun is a Lashon of Notarian, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beterah Mechayev Chachamim Potrim. Yeah, like Mem from Aser, right? So Om Rabbi Yochanan b'Shem Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. How do we know that the Torah is Machshiv Notarian shorthand? Lashon Notrik Minat Torah. Shenemar. Now we're going to have a lot of examples that do not seem very persuasive. And there's different shitas about how do we determine whether a word is supposed to be understood as a notrik. One clear-cut indication is where the word doesn't appear anywhere else. It's a very strange word that appears only one time, where we understand that there's some kind of remez. Another is where the word is completely extra, so that it's got to be saying something. Another where there is clearly hidden meaning meant between the lines. Someone is saying something but means another thing. And then the meaning is meant to be understood as hidden in the word. So when we're saying minayim, where do we see such examples in the Torah of these different levels? Well, for instance, we have ki av hamon goyim netaticha. So what does that mean, hamon goyim? So again, it's not clear here what the raya is, that this has got to be notrikin. Some say because Avraham was already told that I'm going to make you an av hamon goyim. So why does that have to be repeated over here, that now I'm changing your name because av hamon goyim netaticha? Why is that obvious? Others say he could have just said av l'goyim. Why does it have to be dafka hamon goyim? Okay, whatever it is, a lot of discussion about this, but it's clear that if we follow through the life of Avraham, as it's mentioned in the various psukim, the Marsha goes through each one of them, we find that there are elements that show up later about the personality of Avraham that are merumas in these letters. So that means that I made you an av and a bachur, as we say, asher bacharta be'avram netaticha b'ulmot, hamon chaviv netaticha b'ulmot. This is Zer Avram Ohavo, so he's beloved. Melech netaticha l'ulmot, like it says nesi Elohim atavikir benem, which is a din of malchut. Vatik netaticha b'ulmot, somebody who is makpid and careful with mitzvahs, like vatikin. So we find that Avram Avinu was shomer derech Hashem. Neeman netaticha l'ulmot, neeman lefanecha, said about Avram Avinu. So that these are all merumas in the vision of what Avram was to become. Rabbi Yochanan didei amar, this was Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan himself says that a prime example of the nature of notrikun is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own word. So instead of saying ani Hashem lokech, he says anochi. Anochi is notrikun itself, which is ana nafshoi k'tiva yavi. I myself wrote this to give to you. So I give you this writing of my own. Rabbanan say, no, anochi is amira ni'ima k'tiva yaiva. I gave you words that were so sweet, written for you. And some learn that this is not really a machlokas. One is a remes to Tarshim b'chav. I don't know, sure. K'tiva yaiva. And the other is a remes to Tarshim b'peh that would one day be written down. So amira ni'ima, that ended up when it was a rasha to be k'tiva, that was also given. So it was Torah, is merumas here, Tarshim b'chav, and Tarshim b'peh. Igad Amri, Anochi, can be read backwards. And that is the remnant of Zmanagolus, where there was a Kabbalah of Tersh Balpeh, finally, where there was Yehiva Ketiva, Ne'emonim Amareha. That means both of them are, when it comes backwards at the time of Purim, that's V'nahafachu, that's where there was a Kabbalah of Terah, completely, so it's the Kimu V'Kibla Yehudim. Therefore, we darshan it backwards. I don't know anybody who says that, but it seems very reasonable. The Vei Rabbi Natan Amri, what does it mean, Yarat Haderach Lenegdi? Yarat Haderach Lenegdi, this is what Bilam is told by the Aton, for some reason goes off of the road. And obviously he's trying to explain. Yarat, what does that word Yarat even mean? It means Yararat Anatata, that the Aton was aware of the presence of the Malach and the sword, and because of that turned to the side. And he didn't see it. The very Rabbi Shmuel says, you see this very clearly in the word Carmel. So the Omer has to be bought Geres Carmel. What does that mean, Carmel? Carmel, we know it means something like Carmel in English. In other words, it's a soft, squishy candy. But that's what it means in the Torah. Carmel is Carmelay. It's like a squishy pillow. So because of that, it means that the grain is at a point where it hasn't dried yet and is very fresh. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, another one is, where David HaMelech speaks about Shimi ben Gera. So he says, V'hu kalalani klala nimretzet. What exactly does nimretzet mean? We're used to using that word. Where else do we find that word? So nimretzet is a notrika. They were the things that Shimi had said about David, and David put them all into one word. I'll let Shlomo know what he said. I don't want to even say what he said. But man, he sure said a lot. He said he's a Noef, he's a Moavi, he's a Ratzeach, he's a Tzorer, he's a Toeva. Oh my God. When the Shvatim said to Yosef, when they were accused, obviously they weren't admitting anything, so it must be hidden in those words are Tzadikim anachtu, Nechonim anachtu, Torim anachtu, Dakim anachtu, Kedoshim anachtu, you know, goodnik. Well, what can we do? You caught us. And now for Richie's famous Russian rendition of...
Look, the Halakha Mishnah.
HaKotev Shtei Otiyot, B'Shtei HaAlamot. Suppose you remember in between that it was Shabbos, and then forgot. Achat Shachrit v'achat Ben Arba'in. Now many learn that this is not two different cases. Rashi doesn't learn like this. We learn Achat Shachrit v'achat Ben Arba'in. Means that's why it could be b'shtei alamot, because you by the time it came along in the evening, you forgot again that it was Shabbos. You thought it was already after Shabbos, whatever the case is. Rashi learns that the very fact that a lot of time passed between Shachrit and Ben Arba'in is the equivalent of yediyah, because you bump into people, but they would have mentioned you could Shabbos, oh my God, it's Shabbos, how do you like that? So because that's considered to be the equivalent of yediyah many times, as we set those titles, I mean, so then it should give a specific shir. I mean, what exactly is that shir? So in any event, in these cases, whether it's a true yediyah or whether it's equivalent of yediyah that Rashi is learning, Rabbi Gamliel is b'chayev anyway, and the Chachamim reported. Of course, we know what this is all about. We've met this machlokas before. But Mike Amiflegate says the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel sovar in yediyah l'chatzishiyu, even though normally a yediyah is mechalik, that's only where the yediyah is about a full shear that you did, because then that's something that registers as the chiyuv of the chatas in your mind. Oy vavoy. And because of that, it's mechalik the next halacha from the previous asiya. But in a case where you didn't really do anything with the original halacha in terms of the shear, it doesn't really make it to be a half second, because that could be mitzarif what you did with the two halamot. V'rabbanan savrit yesh yediyah l'chatzi shiur. Hadron alach haboneh. And as usual, we introduced the next parak at the end of the previous parak, where we discussed whether it is Kareb Eliezer, not Kareb Eliezer, who holds it if you're mosif one thread on something that was already woven, that's enough to be Machayev. And here is, in fact, the Mishnah of Kareb Eliezer. So Kareb Eliezer says what? If you start an ariga, then you need to have a minimum of 3 chutim in order for it to hold up, because otherwise it's going to fall apart. So you've got to have 3 rows of weft that are going to hold it in place, and only then you're chayav. But if you already had that original ariga done, even adding 1 chut on that which was already a rug, you'd be chayav on. Whereas the Chachamim say, I don't care if it's the beginning, I don't care if it's the end, it's always shnei chutim. Now, when you actually are osa, shtei batei niri, and veniri, and bekiros, or on a nafa, or a kivara, or on a sal, you would be chaya. Now, first let's finish the Mishnah, and we'll get back to explaining this. Hatofer shtei tvirot, somebody who sews it too. We already had this before, the Lord's going to ask, why are you repeating yourself? So 2 stitches, or hakorea amenatet for shtei tvirot, would be chaya. Again, we're going to explain the repetition. So, first, before we continue, let's just get a picture, and I'm going to include this as a PDF with the daf for those who are listening, the picture of what the nature of ariga is. We can get some sense. Now, obviously, there's about 40 different shittot about what exactly the meaning of the words in the Mishnah. We'll take the simplest explanation. This is the picture of a very simple loom. Now, the main idea of a loom, as you understand, is that what we've got to do is allow space between warp threads that are arranged along the width of the material, and in order for that space to allow for passing through this, the shuttle which holds the thread that unwinds as the shuttle moves across the width of the material and adds another minuscule amount of space to the auriga that's there. Is that clear? So imagine, take your two hands, put them into each other, lift one finger's going up and one finger going down. Now pass a thread through the hole, close your fingers, and what happens? The thread now goes in and out, in and out. That thread is the weft thread, the ore, which goes in between. And now you've got one row along your hand of weaving. Now if you could lift it up, have the thread go through the other way, and then close again, you'd now have a thread that would be going in and out in one direction, and up and down in the opposite direction on the fingers that before were uncovered with thread. Okay, so that would be the beginning of keeping your fingers together, where now I can really wake you up, because there's nothing you can do about it. So this is the two rows that we're talking about in the Gemara. The way that we achieve this with threads is really very cute. All we need to do is make a long, thin wire with a loop in the middle, and we can have, let's say, 5 of these, or 100 of these, or 1,000,000 of these if you want a very, very wide piece of material. Have 2 rows of these loops that are held, as you can see over here, on a harness. And you see the harness is going, they're going to move up and down. And in each harness, it's got to be a minimum of 2 harnesses. But there could be 100 harnesses, as we'll look at. You have a minimum of 2 harnesses that are going to hold every other thread. If you have 1,000,000 harnesses, they get 1 out of every 1,000,000 threads, which allows you to make very intricate weaves, because each time it's only going to impact the number of threads that are held up or down. In modern weaves, where the computer controls which heddles remain up and which heddles remain down, you can have the most unbelievably complicated kind like this. You have to work it all out. I mean, it's very, very difficult to work out a complicated weave pattern, because you have to think of what it's going to look like at the end. So let's say you're trying to make a triangle. Obviously, there's only going to be 1 heddle that's up, and all the other 1,000,000 will be down for the beginning of the triangle. 2 the next time, 3 the next time, and so on and so forth, that will be held up. But this will make a picture of a triangle. If you've got to write your name in writing, you can imagine that's going to be extremely complex. In the Mishkan, there were 72.
72?
Trying to explain something that's so fascinating. Even this you can't listen to. It's outrageous. Oh, that's right. There's one right outside. We could take an actual. We could take actual pictures. What do I need a picture for? Right downstairs. There's a full room. Mamish, oh, wonderful. Right, right. Sits outside. The guy actually makes it. Beautiful. Yeah, this was made on the room downstairs. All right. So each one of these little loops. Each one of these little loops. Well, I would do a field trip, except I know what would happen. Richie would probably be found lying in the restaurant. So each one of these little loops is called the home of the nir, the Beit HaNir. And it is where you pass the threads through, so that when it pulls up, it pulls the thread up with it. The alternate thread has been pulled down at the same time that the other thread is being pulled up. So every other thread in the simple loom is either up or down. You can't do much in the way of a pattern, obviously. But you can make a piece of cloth very easily this way. So this way you have, what they would usually do is they would connect this to a device, like a pulley, that was attached to a piece of wood that were on another piece of wood on the bottom. And as you put your foot down in one direction, one heddle would go up and the other one would fall, because it had a piece pulling it down underneath. And when you put your foot in the other direction, the other heddle would lift up and the other one would fall. Each time you lifted up one heddle, you'd pass the shovel through and then you would let the other one fall. However, you would get, if you just did that, a very loose, loopy kind of thing. So there's a few things you got to do. One thing is you have to pass through this device, which is a reed, and that's called the kirus. Not everybody holds that this is called a kirus. There's 5 different explanations of what's called a kirus, but let's assume that this is the simplest explanation, that this is the kirus, so that it's basically a cone, and it's pulled each time flat, so that it jams up against the weave thread, and the weft thread to make the weave, and that way it becomes tight when the weft is pulled through on the shuttle. Here's the picture of the shuttle up close, so that it's, you could see where it's holding the spool of thread.
It's thrown through.
Right. Exactly. It's obviously, it's got to be thrown through. I mean, obviously in a modern machine, it's picked up by a piece that pulls it through and then releases it. But yeah, I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be very easy to get through a million heddles. But again, for a short weave like this, which is done outside, it's easy to just throw it through, pick it up on the other side. That was actually what Gemara spoke about before, about throwing when they were doing weaving in the Mishkan, they would throw two, one to the other, and that was the kasha. That can't be the makor, because then you were still holding the other end of the thread in your hand, and it's not really hotzah. That we're trying to learn out Arbamas versus Arab didn't work out. We needed to find another answer. But that was the original thought. So now, in order to set up an Ariga, obviously you're going to have the threads being passed through the Beit Nir. Then they're going to have to go through the empty spaces between the Beit Nirim on the next heddle. Otherwise, it's not going to do you much good, because then they're not set up properly. Just to put something through one of the Beit Nirim is not going to help unless you're going to be able to get it through the other between the Beit Nirim. Now, that's called through a Beit Nir and then through a Nir, right? Each alternative thread will go through first either a Nir and then a Beit Nir, or first a Beit Nir then a Nir. That way, when it's lifted up and down, there's going to be room for the shuttle between it. And then when you pull down on the Kiros, it's going to be stuck in there tight. So this is the simplest kind of example we have. Do you have your little, do you have your thing? No, you don't bring it? Okay, so taking this into consideration now, let's read the Gemara. So first of all, try to make some Seder here in the Shitot. So Rabbi Eliezer here says, Ha'orik Shlosha Chutim. And when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the Mishnah as if it was two chutim in Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yitzchak toni shtayim in Rabbi Eliezer omer orik shnei chutim b'tfila, says the Gemara. But what about our Mishnah? Nantan shlosha lo kasha ha be'alime ha be'katine. Basically, they are dependent on whether you have thick threads or you have thin threads. Now, in what direction? That was a machloket. Some say in one direction, some say the other direction. Because there's two issues that we need to take into consideration. One issue is the chashivut of what has already been arum. Obviously, the thicker the thread, the more clearly it's noticeable, and therefore it's more choshev. On the other hand, we have to think about the kiyum of what you did. In that case, the thinner the thread, the more tightly it's going to hold together, and the thicker the thread, the more problematic it is to hold it together. And therefore, some say we focus in one direction, some say we focus on the other direction. So some say, Amar Lahagisa Alini, the thicker the thread is, the more Rabbi Eliezer requires of them. Talata, only three will not fall apart, Los Satri, therefore in terms of Kiyam, they're valuable. But Trey will be Satri, Masha Inka, if you're using thin threads, even two will hold together. So Trey Nami, Los Satri. Others say, let's not look at the Satri, let's look at how recognizable it is. So Amar Lahagisa, Katine, it takes three threads to be Yadia. Until you'd recognize that you've done something. Trey lo yediye. Alime trey nami yediye. Tanya. Bright indeed. Says, Orik shloshakotim betchila. Viachad al orik chayal. Vekakamim omrim. Bein betchila. Bein besof. The shear is always shnayim. Now, when we talk about shnei chutim, what we're talking about is the shear of shnei chutim and besafa. Shnei chutim, beroch of shorsha batenir. Remember that the shear that we had, that we spoke about earlier, was the roch of sit hakafu, which is the distance basically between your thumb and your finger. The sit itself is the distance between your first two fingers. Kaful, that's the equivalent of the thumb to your first finger.
The shear for what?
That's the shear of the ariga, how wide the ariga has to be.
Final job?
Yeah. Not the final job. Well, I mean, you're telling me how wide? Yeah. It's got to be at least that wide along two chutim of width that you're adding. But in the edging of the material that's going along the length here, that edging, I think that's called serge. Is that called the serge of the material? Anybody who ever bought material for suits remembers that at the edge there's a different material that's much, much tighter. It usually has the name of the firm in it in the weave. So the edging does not require a width of the sitakafun. All you need is the width of three batenir, however wide that is, in your particular or weave, because all you're trying to do is provide it with a tough edge. It doesn't fall apart. We've already seen a case where we don't need rocha basita kaful. And where was that? Somebody was making a little band that's going to hang down as a ribbon from a hat or something. You're chayiv just on the ribbon, even though it's much less than the shear of the sita kaful. Over here, it's the same idea. This is what I need, and I don't need more. So over there, two chutim, only berochav shlosha batinir. Ve'ha'orei. If you're also, or you should say, ha'orei, shlosha chutim betchila, and this is the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, v'yachad al rikhaya, indeed stomach Rebbe Eliezer. This is a braita that was being said by Rebbe Eliezer. Tani Idach, another braita says, ha'orei shnei chutim al hagas, v'yala imra chaya. If you start, you have already on the piece that the long piece, that's a gas, you've already done a lot. Or hala imra. Now the imra is the same idea as we had before, the safa, except it's along the width instead of along the length. So it's not done together with the rest of the orik. That's how you start, just to get a tough beginning. So you'll use thinner threads there so they hold together, exactly as the Gemara said earlier. So over there, you'd be chayev, but you need a minimum of two chutim. That's the chachamim. Rebbe Eliezer says, no, afilo echad if it's alagaz, on the safa, shnei chutim berochav shlosha batenirin, chayav alamazedome, orik tzutzul katan, and shnei chutim al rochav shlosha batenirin. That's not like Rebbe Eliezer. That's stomach Rabbana, because according to Rebbe Eliezer, even chutachad alagas is chayev. Now, the Mishnah said, Shnei chutim, oser shnei batenirim binirim. What does that mean? It's very complicated. Well, Rabbi, look at that. It's very simple. Basically, what you need is for each chut to go through three different stages. It's got to go through its own beit nir. It's got to be pulled across between the spaces of the next heddel, the batenirim, for the opposite threads. And it has to pass through the comb in order for it to be properly combed in, because the comb is sealed on top and bottom. It just goes, pulls up and down, but that never falls off. And then it jams up against the next piece. So basically, all that it's trying to say is, says Abaya, is that you have tarte. What you need is you need tarte in the beit nira, and you need it then to pass through the nira itself. So in other words, you've got two threads going through the first beit nira, and one going through the opposite one. And then bekirus, what is the kirus? Amarav, the mutzvita. That was that which keeps things in place. Now, we said we're learning that to mean the comb. And atofer shtei tvirot. Now, the other cases that we had in the Mishnah, which was benafa, bikvara, ubisal. Obviously, when you do basket weaving, as anybody who has a degree in basket weaving can tell you, they spent many years learning this in undergrad, and then they took a graduate degree, and now they're completely qualified to learn this one Mishnah. So as anybody can tell you, you do not have heddles and shuttles when it comes to basket weaving. But you have the equivalent, because over there, the actual reed that you're using to make your basket is thick enough to stay in place itself. But what you have to do is you have the one going up, let's say two going down. In order to keep that in place, you put the what would be the equivalent of the shuttle if it was really material, you put the other piece of reed that's going to be going in the direction of the weft, you put it through, and that keeps it in place for you to start. Then you push down the other ones, you put another one in place in the opposite direction. Then you've got yourself the beginning of your basket. That's the same thing as setting up the beginning of the ariga when it comes to material. As I pointed out to you, all kids in camp make those plastic chains. So they're well aware of, what do they call?
Lanyards.
Lanyards. So they're well aware of how this works, because what else are they going to do with kids in camp except give them colored pieces of plastic for which they charge $3,000 a week? And this way, the kids can get their own degree in basket weaving. Fine. Then Mishnah continues. Hatofer shtei tefirot. Says the Gemara, I understand. This shear was already included in the opening Mishnah of the Lamedet Melachot, right? I mean, I understand that we need to expand the Melachot whose shear wasn't given, and that's what we've been doing. But you're hitting the dregs here. I mean, we've already done everything. Why are you repeating shiurim that were already given? It says over there, quote, v'atofer shtei tefirot, unquote. And why do we do this again? Well, because we wanted to introduce the end. It says, ha'koreya amanat etfor shtei tefirot. Sorry. That's no reason to write atofer, because koreya anami tanina b'avot malachot. It said that too, v'akoreya amanat etfor shtei tefirot. So what kind of excuse is that? I didn't mean that. I meant the safe of the safer. See, it goes on to say, and if you tear something up because you're furious, or tear because someone died in the family. So in order to talk about that, it says at the first page we wrote, and then it says HaKorea, and then it says HaKorea B'Chamoto, which we didn't say before. Now, you're saying that it's a tikkun to tear in order to be tofer. What's the situation? But where's it a tikkun to tear in order to put it back the way it was? No. It means the other kikista. What happened over here is that a piece of the material billowed up. So now it's not lying flat. The only thing to do with that is you have to cut the tefirot, bend the material over a little bit so it's not noticeable, and then you re-sew it so that now it lies flat. And now, for a word from our president.
Dr. Heilige Mishnah.
HaKorea B'Chamato V'Almeto. Somebody who is furious and tears, or he tears for a death. And anybody who does something that is just ruining things is potter. We'll see more about this in a moment. Somebody who's doing something which is temporarily a ruining, but it's necessary in order to fix, like the case we had before, the shiur is always the equivalent shiur of what the tikkun will be. And the shiur for all of the working with materials, starting from the raw wool, the malabein, just washing the wool, the minapates, the combing it out, the dyeing of the wool, atzovea, and the spinning of the wool. It's all the same shear. Rochav sit kaful, as we spoke about before, double the distance between your two first fingers. And if you do the ariga shnei chutim, it has to be along the length, which becomes the width of the material, of gemalo sit, which is doubled. V'raminu, ask the gemara, but it says, HaKorei b'chamato b'avalo v'amito ischayev. And it adds, oh, well, maybe it was Bechal Shabbos, but at least he was Yaitzi Kriya, so he doesn't have to tear another baguette on his mate. But you just said your potter. Well, don't you see the context? Lokash, Abameti Dei, Abameti Alma. Where it says he was Yotze Yedei Kriya, it means clearly he was Chayev in Kriya. So one is talking about a family member, the other is talking about that he was moved by the death of a friend or whatever, and therefore he was Korea. But how can it mean that? It says, Almeto, on his own mate. It's got to be a family member. You're right, it is a family member. But it's not a family member that he's Chayev on Kriya. It's only the primary family members. This is his cousin. So he's Lav B'nei Avilut Ninu. But even so, I mean, if the guy was a Chacham, he would have been Chayev to be Korea anyway, no? The Tanya Chacham Shemet HaKol Krovav. A Chacham who dies, everyone is a relative. What do you mean? Everyone's a relative? Sakabaitach. Meaning, HaKol Ki Krovav. Everyone has to act as if they are a relative. HaKol Kor Imelav. They do Kriya. HaKol Kol Tzimalav. In those days, they used to bare their shoulders like the Romans. HaKol Mevarina Lav Rechava. Everybody gives everyone else food so that they are as if they're eating the food of Avelim, not their own food. Okay, so he wasn't a chacham, all right? Lo tzirgim alav chacham. Ah, but maybe he was a decent fellow. And if he was an adam kosher, there's also a chiyuv to be mitztayer. The tanya b'pnei ma'metim banavum notav shel adam kishem ktanim. Why does a man lose children while they're still young and don't have any averus? In order to teach him to cry for the loss of someone who's a good person. What? In order to teach him? Are you crazy? Or Vuna Shakri Manstin? We're taking an Erevot from him. Okay, we'll take a couple of kids just to make sure you know how to cry. That's insane. Sorry, okay, of course. It's because he has no feelings for someone's death. And then it says, "Kola bochel adam kasher mochlinu akol avonotav mibishul akavod yasa." Person has to learn to respond to loss. Lotzricha d'lav adam kasher. Okay, fine. So he wasn't a decent fellow. He's your friend, but a slob. Ah, but still, either koyev b'shat yitziat nisham. But if he was standing there and the guy died, he would still be chayev to be korea. The tanya Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer ha'omein al hamet b'shat yitziat nisham chayev likroa. You know what this is like? It's like a sefer Torah that was burned. And because this person, so long as he was alive, he could have learned Kalat Arakula, and anyone in Yisrael could have that. And now that he died, it's as if the Sefer Torah was burned in front of your eyes. And we know that you're Mokhuyev to be Korea. That's the whole story with Yoyakim, where they burnt the Megillah, and they came and they tore their clothing. Anyway, it says over there that nobody seemed to care. Lo Korubim Dehem. So it's similar to the blasphemy and so on. They didn't care. They didn't care. Okay, so he wasn't there when the guy dies, okay? He's not his relative, he's not a chacham, he's not an adam kosher, and he wasn't standing by in the hospital. Are we okay now? Well, not completely. Because this only explains the part about the mate, but it doesn't explain it by his being angry. And the Mishnah says that if he tears when he's angry, so then he's potter, and here it says he tears when he's angry, he's chayev. How are you going to get out of that one? You know, you drained me a cup over here about the mate. I can barely conceive of a situation. A guy dies who's not a relative, not a chokhov, not an adam kosher, and not b'shas me. All right, I'll accept such a dochuk case. What are you going to do about kamato? By the way, there's an amazing, amazing maral in a couple of places who quotes this gemara. It's pretty awful. But he says, in my opinion, if you see a child entering a yeshiva, you have to tear your clothes. Why? Because it's the same as being a yemein ala meis, b'shas yitzias neshama. Since the whole point is that until this point he was alive, he could have learned kol ha'Torah kula. Now he'll never learn anything. It's exactly the same. To go to yeshiva, he'll never learn a thing from now on. So it says, kimad, I hold the halacha that you have to be korea. Unbelievable. The Mara Horetz, it's incredible. Nichum Avelim, you mean to a boy that went to yeshiva to go to the parents and to tell them we're sorry.
Sorry for your loss.
Sorry for your loss. Okay, so what are you going to do? Hamato, Nami Lokasha. One is going to live to Rabbi Yehuda, one is going to live to Rabbi Shimon. One is going to Rabbi Yehuda, ultimately, Lok Shen Tzich Lagufa Chayev. But obviously, when you tear because you're angry, you're not doing something which is needed for the materials. It's Lok Shen Tzich Lagufa. So because of that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're part of Lok Shen Tzich Lagufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're Chayev. And that explains the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita. And all Rabbi Shimon, you're Lok Shen Tzich Lagufa, part of that. Wait a minute. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only chayv and lo kashen tzrich l'gufa when you're achieving something. I mean, over here, you're just ruining things. You're a mekalkel. Did he ever say that a mekalkel you're chayv on? Just because lo kashen tzrich l'gufa, bishamatle. On Rav Avin, what mekalkel? I don't understand. The guy feels wonderful after he breaks all of his pots and tears all of his clothes. I've really expressed myself. So he may be metakein. Because he's oisen nachat ruach liyitzro. He's given his yitzro something gishmak. But ask the Gemara, but that can't be called metakein. The very fact that you did that is mikalkel. Giving in to your Yetzirah like this is not even mutter. I got the mishori. That itself is a mikalkel, because basically you're training yourself to give in to your emotions. V'atani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Kilfu Baragra, Shimon Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Someone who is mikareya begadav v'chamato, you tear your clothing because you're angry. Or mishaber kelav v'chamato. Or mifazer ma'otav v'chamato. You throw your money out to the street. He's basically being Ovid Avodah Zarah. Look, this is the way it begins. Today, it's eat another cookie. Next day, have yourself a banana split. The next day, he finally gets to the point. Why not a little bit of Avodah Zarah? Just a little bit. And in the end, you start with, it's a slippery slope. Amr Rabbi Avin, where do we see this in the pasuk? By Krah, lo yebecha elzar. There cannot be a foreign god inside of you. What do you mean inside of you? Velo tishtachavel el nechar. How do you have an elzar that's hiding inside of your body? Begufo shel adam. Avi omer zeyetzer hara. You worship that god. You bring it all of those amazing sacrifices, the banana splits and the cookies and oh my gosh, another coffee and so on. Each sacrifice brings you a little closer to bringing it to Yashke himself. And therefore, it's not a mitaken, it's a mikalkel. You're right. Lo tzricha de kavod l'mirva im ta'in shedabet. He's not really angry. He's feigning anger to scare the people in his house from ever doing something like this again. And we find Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, for instance, he was shalif mitzayvata. He ripped his clothes, but he's really only ripping out a seam. But it looked like he was really angry. Rav Akiva bar Yaakov, he kept a collection of broken glasses anyway, took them out of the garbage pail. What somebody would do, he would take the glass, smash, you're a bunch of idiots. They would, oh my God. Rav Sheshes once poured out some fish juice on the maid's head for making a mess of things. So Munina Aresha. Rav Abba was Tova Nachmata. He would take the covering, which were disposable basically, and he would throw them and break them. Om Rebbe Shimon ben Pazi, Om Rebbe Shimon ben Levi, now that we've discussed Mishum Bar Kapora, the idea of Adam Kosher, we bring already the halacha that Kalamuri Demoot al Adam Kosher HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sofana Menicham Bebeit Genazav. HaKadosh Baruch counts the tears that a person cries for the loss of an Adam Kosher and keeps them in his treasury. As David HaMelech says, Nodi Safartas, Nodi is the pain that I was, like it says, Lanudlo, to cry along with him. You count my tears. Sima dimatiba notcha halo besifatecha. Take my tears and keep them in a special container, which you keep in your own personal counting in a library. Somebody who doesn't give his heart to be maspir at Amar Chocham is Rovilik of Rovichayav, he should be buried alive. And they buried Yehoshua, they buried him next to a volcano. Well, it doesn't really mean a volcano. The mountain wanted to kill everybody that was at that Leviah because they gave disgusting espadim, very much like today's Leviah. Stay out of the way from there because the ground might explode. Such a person doesn't live many, many days. He couldn't care less about the loss of the days of this Chacham. So, Minat Shamayim, they don't care about his days. Where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts midekenegen? Nivina, Shinemra, Bisa'a, Se'a. Sa'a, Sa'a is this double meaning of Sa'a, Bisa'a. We pay you back one Sa'a for the Sa'a that you give. Bishal Chater Ivena. That is Minat Shamayim. That's the way that you will be fighting. So when it's time to throw them out, you will get it back with exactly the same amount. Eight Vei, Rebbe Chiyah Bar Abba, Rebbe Yochanan. Vayavdu Ha'am et Hashem Kol Yimei Yehoshua. And note that it says, Kol Yimei Hazikenim Asher Erichu Yamim Acharei Yehoshua. And how do you explain that? You just said that they did a lousy job on the aspect of Yehoshua. Then you said, anybody who does such a thing is going to have no Arichat Yamim. And here it says, Beferish, those Zikenim were Ma'arich Yamim. Amalei, Pavloi. Don't you know how to read? It says Erichu Yamim. That means literally days. They didn't have years. Shanim lo Erichu. Oh, right. So when it says Laban Yirbu Yamecha, it means you'll have days, but you'll die before the year is up. Yamechem Yamevenechem. That means Yamim lo Shanim. Well, over there, obviously, it's contextually a bracha. It can't mean that. But over here, where it's talking about Yeshua's death and loss and so on, contextually, it's stressing Dafke Yamim lo Shanim. Done. He gave out echad chayav. What? Hash the katav out echad patur. He gave out echad chayav. On Rav Sheish etach by eskin gon she netalo lagago shel chet v'yasa o shnei zayini. Rav Amar, ke gon she netalo lagago shel dalet v'yasa o resh, or others have, netalo lagago shel dalet v'yasa o yud resh. Tan. Nitkavi nektov out echad v'yalu v'yadu shtayim chayav. Ay, what? Ram patur. Lo kasha de boi ziyune, ha de lo boi ziyune. כתב עוד אחד נוטריקון רב ישו ובטרה מחייב וחכמים פותרים אומר רבי יוחנן משום רבי יוסי בן זמרה מנה הנה לשון נוטריקון מן התורה שלמה כי אב המון גויים נתתיך אב נתתיך לאומות בחור נתתיך באומות אבות חביב נתתיך באומות מלך נתתיך לאומות ותיק נתתיך באומות נאמן נתתיך לאומות Rabbi Yochan Didayomar Anovi Notrikun Amna Nafshar Ketivat Yahadi Rabbanan Amri Amira Neima Ketiva Yehiva Ikede Amri Anoch Lema Freya Yehiva Ketiva Neamoni Mamarea Debei Rabbi Natan Amri Ki Yarat Aderach Lenegdi Yara Ra'ata Nateta Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Carmel Kar Malay Rabbi Akiva Yaakov Amri Hu Kelalani Kelala Nimretzet Notrikun, Noe from Moavi or Rotseach Utzarero, Toevahu, Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak Omer, Man Nidaberu Man Nitztadak, Nechonim Anachu, Tzadikim Anachu, Torim Anachu, Dakim Anachu, Kedoshim Anachu, you know, Kedek. Hakotev Shtei Otiyot B'Shtei HaAlamot Achat Shacharit, V'Achat Ben Arbaim, Rabbi Gamliel Mechayei V'Chachamim Potrim, V'Maika Mifagev, Rabbi Gamliel Tzavret Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur, Rabbi Nutzavret Yesh Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Orech Shlosha Chutim B'Tchila V'Achat Al Orech Chayav V'Chachamim Omrim Ben B'Tchila Ben B'Sov Shiurot Shnei Chutim Oseh Shtei Batei Nirim B'Nirim V'Kirus V'Nofa B'Kevoro V'Sal Chayav HaTofer Shtei Tzvirot HaKorea Manat B'Tfor Shtei Tzvirot Kiyata Rabbi Yitzchak Toni Shtein What? V'Nantzan Shloshan Rabbi Eliezer Lo Kasha Ho Be'Alime Ho Be'Ketine Now some say La Haigisa V'Amre La Haigisa Alime requires Tlata, because only then lo satre, tre is satre. But Katini stick together even with tre nami lo satre. Others say, no, no, the other way around. Katini requires Tlata, because only then is it yediye. Tre lo yediye. Alime is even noticeable tre nami yediye. Tanya. Ha'orig shol shakuti betchila ve'achad on something that was already orig is chayev. וחכמים אומרים בין בתחילה בין בסוף שיעורם שני חוטים ובשפה שני חוטים ברוחב שלושה בתנירים instead of במולי רוחב הסית הלמה זה דומה לא רק צוף קטן שני חוטים ברוחב שלושה בתנירים והאורג שלושה חוטים בתחילה ועכב האורג חייב that last piece is stomach revelation. Tanya Ida, Haorik Shnei Chutim ala Gas ve'ala Imra Chayev, Reb Eliezer omer filo achat, ubesafa Shnei Chutim barokav shlosha batenirim chayev, halama ze dorma lorik sotzu koton, Shnei Chutim barokav shlosha batenirim, Haorik Shnei Chutim ala Gas ve'ala Imra Chayev, this one is clearly like the Rabbani, because it needs a minimum of two ala Gas. Hose Shnei batenirim, what? My benirin, omer if I look at it, Tarte bebote nira v'chona benira gives you basically your setup now. Bekirus, my bekirus, amarav the mutsuvita. Hatofer shtei tefirot, hatanina bavot melachot. It says hatofer shtei tefirot. Well, mishum dekoyel mitzvah seif v'akorea amanat itfer shtei tefirot ketanin ami hatofer v'akorea. But on Amitinin about Melachot. Well, Mishun de Gabay, listen to the Sefer of the Sefer. Hakorea Bachamato, Meto, Mishumachi Katani, Hatofer, State Tvirot, Vakorea, Menatifor, State Tvirot, and so on. And Ekimashka Hadla, the Altaki Kista, you need to tear at this with the material and then resaw. Hakorea Bachamato, Vamito, Vakola, Makakam, and Paturim, Makakal, Menatatakin, Shirokim, Takin, a general, Shiur, Amalabena, Menapeta, Tovea, Tove. All are the same. Kamalei rochav sita kaful, orik shlechitim, shlechutim, shirok bloasid. Vraminu. Hakorea bechamato beavelo veameto chayav. Veav apish bechalelot haShabbat yatsa yedei kriya. Well, lo kasha bemeiti day, bemeiti alma. But the Mishnah says meito katani. Yeah, it's meito, but amik bloam ne avelis nino. Well, I mean, but maybe it's a chokham, and then it would be chayev. Netanya, chokham shemet hakol krovav, sakadat chelaima, hakol kikrovav, meaning hakol korin alav, hakol kotzin alav, hakol mevarin alav berachava. Oh, he's not a chokham. Okay, but he's still, there's an adam kosher, no? So then, chiyuvim chayev. Netanya, mibnei ma meitim banavim notav shal adam chim ktanim, kedei shivkev yitavel adam kasher, kedei shivkev, irvun hashak v'nei. I mean, מפני שלא בחב יתאבל על אדם קשר, שכל הבוחל אדם קשר מוכלין לו הכל הבנותה בשביל כבוד שעשה לו, לא צריך לרב אדם קשר. Okay, but still, he declared the shadi tiyad nishamachi even bechayva. The Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, omer alamet b'shadi tiyad nishamachi and likroa halamaz adom and the sefer Torah shenisrafa. Lo tzrich adalokai b'shadi tiyad nishamah. Okay, but you only answered meito. What about the contradiction of chamato achamato kasha? Chamato achamato nami lo kasha. Or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Or Rabbi Yehuda Malach shein tzrich lugu bechayva leya. Or Rabbi Shimon Malach shein tzrich lugu bepatrola. But even Rabbi Yehuda was only by a case of mitakein, by mekalkel nishamadlei, Amr Avovin. Well, it's a mitakein because you know he feels good. They got it all out. The kavanachad ruach liyitzro, but that's itself a mekalkel because kai gavna mishori. Vatani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer mishum chilfo baragro shomer mishum Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Someone who's mekareya vegadav vechamato meshabri kela vechamato amefazir mootav vechamato yehi beinecha keoved avada zara. After all, that's how the slippery slope begins. Shekach ruminato sheyetzer hara. Ayom omelo, asekach. Avachar omelo, asekach. Atchomelo avon avada zara volok meavid. Amrevan imaikra lo yebecha elzar velo tishtach velo necha. Ezo elzar sheyesh begufo shel adam. Aviyom ezeyetzer hara. And that's the tikkun. Ki yada Rav Yehuda, sholef matzbeyata, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, tova mani tvire, Rav Sheshes, ramele lehante munina aresha, Rav Amba, tomar nachmata, omri shimim apazir, Rav Shimon Levi, shimar kapora, kol amarit maot al adam kashira kadosh baruch hu sofran, uminichan bebeit binazav, shinemar nodi safarta ata, sima dimati benotcha lo besifratecha, Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Rav Kol Mitatzel Bespido Shel Chacham Ro'i Lekov Ro Bechayav Shema Vigberu Oto Begvul Nachlato Bidim Natserach Shebar Efraim Mitzvon Lahagash Malamit Shiragash Aleyam Ahar Laorgan Amr Rav Chiyah Barav Amr Rav Yehuda Kol Mitatzel Bespido Shel Chacham Eino Marich Yamim Mida Kenegen Mida Shinam Rav Sa'a Beshal Chat Rivena Eit Ve Rav Chiyah Barav Rav Yehuda Right there in the Pasuk it says Vayavdu Ha'am Et Hashem Koyim Yoshua, the koyim as a kenima sherichu yamim acher Yoshua shall hitatzlu bezpido. What do you do with that? Amalei bavloi, learn how to read. Yamim erichu, shanim lo erichu. All right. Elamiat elaman yirbu yamechem yamevenechem means yamim velo shanim. Context, context, my boys. Brocha shayne.
So, gentlemen. We begin a new post-Tisha B'Av year, which Tisha B'Av somehow has managed to extend itself. But, here we are on Yud B'Av, and our daf today, we got up to the two dots in Kutei, the top of the daf. So, Katav Ot Achat No Trikon. We had in the Mishnah Machloket about what happens if you write a letter and indicate that it's a shorthand. So you make a little dot on top, or you make a little tzik on the side, which is a recent minhag. What would be the din? Rav Yeshua ben Beter Mechayu, because he follows the information content rather than the actual object of the ketiva. Rechachamim putri. Om Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yossi ben Zimra. Once we're on the topic, and you'll notice that this has been quite a lot of our topic in this parak, which involves the din of the ketiva, the remuzim of various notrikums, and even the olive bait itself. What else would you expect to find it but in din of ketiva? So it says Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yossi ben Zimra. This is one of these very esoteric continuations. Minayin Lashon Notrikon min haTorah. Shenema ki Av Hamon Goyim Netaticha. Now everybody who reads that can see that it clearly means Av Netaticha Lohumot, Bachur Netaticha Lohumot. Hamon means Hamon Chaviv Netaticha Lohumot, Melak Netaticha Lohumot, Vatik Netaticha Lohumot, Neeman Netaticha Lohumot. And so it's quite clear that it's written Lashon Notrikon. Rabbi Yochanan today, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, his own name, and not quoted this time in the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, is the word Anochi itself, that was said at Kabbalat Torah, is itself a notrikun, which implies Ana Nafshi Ketivat Yahavi, that I put my soul into the writing that I gave. That's the Hasidic interpretation. No. These are remastered. I mean, they're Gemara. Yeah. No. I'm saying that the Hasidic interpretation that it's an insertion of my soul kevayachol doesn't necessarily need to be the explanation of ana nafshi, which would simply mean I did myself give you this ketiva. But in the context of anochi, it's taken to mean my innermost self kevayachol. Rabbanan amre amiran ima ketiva yehiva. I have given you the sweetness of these words in writing. Ikedame anochi lemafreya. You can darshan anochi from end to front, as much as we were doing in the olive bed, and which is a ketiva. This is Yahivat ketiva. I gave you a ketiva in which ne'emanim amareha, which all of its amarot are integrous. Devei Rabbi Natan Amrei, another example of a clear-cut notrikun in which the word isn't really fully understandable without it. Ki yarat haderech linagdi. What exactly is yarat haderech linagdi in the story of Bil'am? The word yarat doesn't even make sense exactly. What is the Aton trying to say? So we understand that to be basically a word that comprises what it was that happened to the Aton, which is what she's reporting. Yara, she sensed a fear that was undefined to her. Ra'ata, at which point she saw something. Natata, which caused her to turn aside. And the Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, what is the meaning of the word Carmel? Because, this is already a Chiyum D'Oraisa Carmel, and it never explains where do we find the word Carmel exactly, which has come to mean Carmel in English as well. It means something which is not quite solid, and it's still soft and fresh and sticky and gooey, which is exactly what it means over here in the dinim of the Minifat Omer, that the grain is still kar male. It's like a pillow that's filled. So it's fluffy, soft. In other words, the grain hasn't dried yet. Normally, you wouldn't have processed it, but for the omer, you make it nevuz lechot, you parch the grain, and you use it in that form. Rav Acha bar Yaakov omer, we find also a lashon nodrikun in David's closing words to Shlomo, when he's talking about taking care of Shimi ben Gera. He says, "Vehu kilalani kilalan nimretzet." What exactly is the meaning of the nimretzet? The nimretzet is a notrikun about what it was he was saying about me, which I'd rather not openly say, but he was saying, "Noefu, Moabihu, Rotseyatu, Sorerhu, Toevahu." Those were some of the gentler words. You know? So in any event, just so you should know, take care of him good. The truth is that the Pashat of Pshat of Nimretzet, I think, is absolutely beautiful. Pashat of Pshat is like this. When David was escaping and Shimi came and he's cursing him, so David's friend said, "This guy's a dog. We're just going to crush him. We're not sit here and listen to this garbage." So David says, "Well, okay, shut up. Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously told him to curse me. This is all happening as part of the horrible things that are happening. We're starting out taking revenge on him. He's part of this whole story. If that's the case, so how does he come at the end? All of a sudden, turn around. But there he's talking to, when it comes to the end of his life, let's get the guy no matter what." It's unbelievable. The Psharas, we find exactly the same thing for Paro. Paro was set aside to do what he did to Klal Yisrael. But, however, because he was Maksha, you're asked it, but you didn't have to get into it. He really put his heart and soul into it. That wasn't part of his job. So for his job, you want to kill him for what he said. No, that's his job. But the way he said it, he shouldn't kill him.
Why does that require the time delay?
Because obviously he said, he promised everybody he's not going to, otherwise he never would have been able to undo, he did incredible things to undo that rebellion, otherwise there never would have been a go. Everybody would have been in fear. It's like in East Germany today, where they're releasing the files of who was basically informers, you know, to the Stasi. What do they call it? I don't want to call it.
It wasn't the Stasi, it was the Stasi. You know?
So he needed instantly to lay to rest. The most important thing that he did to do that, of course, was his show at the death of Avshalom, which was absolutely astounding, to the point where his own general said, "You mean you'd rather we would all drop dead as long as he would be alive?" That's exactly what he needed to convey. That way anybody that was on the other side felt he wasn't on the other side. Basically, David would have been happy for them to win. It was an absolutely brilliant move. And all of the Hanhaga that he did for them, it was amazing. You don't often recognize the brilliance of David's Melucha and the things that he did in order to... Basically, yes. Nobody felt that it's not that I'm angry. You supported my son, you supported my son. It's all the same to me. It's unbelievable. Continues the Gemara. Another good, beautiful example is when the Shvatim were responding to Yosef. And they say when they're dragged back after the Binyamin story, you could say man daber man nitzdabak, and we have nothing to say. But you've got to be saying somewhere in what you're saying that this is insane, that it's all a where did they say it? The word nitzdabak stands for nechonim anachnu, tzadikim anachnu, torim anachnu, dakim anachnu, kedoshim anachnu. None of this is true.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Hakotev shtei otiyot b'shtei ha'alamot. Achat shacharit ve'achat ben ha'arbaim. Rabbi Gamliel mechayevet ve'chachamim potrim. Somebody who, here we finally get into the question of a yediya in between a shiur. They wrote one letter, and then you found out that it was Shabbos. You found out that Ketiva is also. Forgot, and later that day write another letter, obviously in a way in which it's possible to be mechaber then, which may include the achat shacharit and achat shacharit, but... So we have a machlokas, and this is the famous machlokas that we've had throughout. We've continually discussed what it is that Rebbe Gamliel holds about Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur. And we said, according to Rebbe Gamliel, who holds in Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur, this is the Mishnah in which that is clear. Because Rebbe Gamliel said, you're chayav even though you had a Yediyah between. Apparently that Yediyah, because it's not l'chayav yu'achatat, is not considered to be a hefset between the two actions. And therefore it's meaningless. So they remain mechubarim together. Whereas had you had a yediyah of something was mechayev you a chatat, then the second act would have been unrelated to the first, and would have been mechayev you a second chatat if it was a shir, or it wouldn't have been able to be mitzarek if it wasn't a shir. So here is actually the source of what we've been saying all through the second. I'll leave the Ram Leo Savada in Yediyah L'Chatzi Shir. This is where he says it. Now, what's interesting over here is the achat shacharit ve'achat bein harbayim, because what's the point? I mean, we've been talking about people with Alzheimer's all along. I mean, when we have to excuse it, one was in the morning, one was in the evening. Rashi uses this as a basis of a tremendous chiddush in which he says the amount of time that passes by in which a person would normally have found out that it's Shabbos is called a yediyah, even if he didn't. So in other words, it's talking, according to Rashi, is two different things. Either b'shtei halamot, or achat shacharit v'achat ben arbayim, which is the equivalent of shtei halamot. Tosa says, I mean, where does this come from? And then why didn't it say what that shear is? I mean, what do you mean, what time shachar is, you know? Is that the gross Kriya Shema? Is it looking at Rome's Kriya Shema? How can Mishnah say something like that without exactly a shear?
You know? Shouldn't say Mar, for example.
No. Okay. So Tosa doesn't like that bichlal. Furthermore, he asks from the case of achas betzipori and achas betferi. It takes time to get from tzipori to feri. So according to Rashi Shita, that time itself is considered to be a yediyah. Why didn't that so? You already involved the machlokas of Gamliel and the Chachamim. Instead, we just reported as if, well, no, it's no problem. You could be mitzaret. Maybe you can't. Maybe yes, you deal a chassid shir. Like the Chachamim say over here, they say your potter. How come all of a sudden over there was stoma? I'll leave there in Gamliel. Very, very unlikely. And this is the only reason that it says shakers bechadar. This is simply to indicate strongly to you how meaningful this yediyah was. I mean, this is. You're going to put together something in the morning and something in the evening when I found out in between. Yeah, exactly. Because we're talking about a technicality. We're not talking about how it appears to you to be one act. Bottom line is, if you're all day, you deal with that situation, this is one act. And that, the mission is just trying to strengthen the observation that you shouldn't be troubled by the fact that you knew in between. There's a lot of time passed in between. And that in human terms, you would generally look at this as a completely different act. It's irrelevant. Rabbi Joshua, you've been opening the Maika Miflage. I spoke about it, but it's not even tomorrow. The Maika Miflage, Rabbi Gamliel, Savar, Ein Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur. Therefore, the knowledge that it was Shabbat in between is not Mechalek between the two acts, and you're left with a single act. Forget about how much time passes. Rabbanan Savar, Yesh Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur. Forget about how little time passes. The fact that you found out in between turns it into two separate acts, which cannot be mitzuraf l'inyan chiyuv chatzar. Hadran halacha boneh. Now, before we start this parak, I just want to give a brief introduction to the wool working process. This parak actually deals with both issues of cloth making, either cloth that's being made out of wool or other natural materials, or the process of the tzeda, or which is also used for cloth making. And that's basically what we're going to be miyached ourselves in on this part. Now, the thing is that there's a lot of separate steps, as we've already seen, in the weaving process, each one of which is a separate milacha. And that's one of those things in which, as we said, everything that was specific in the Mishkan, we look at specifically, that we could have sort of subsumed everything under the general category because of our given of Lamatet Melachot. Again, the way that we discussed this back at the original Mishnah of Lamatet Melachot and the Ramazan to where the Lamatet Melachot come from. But in any event, let's think about the issue when it comes to weaving. First of all, in order to weave, we obviously need threads. In order to have threads, we obviously need them to be spun, or else they're just loose wool. In order to get the loose wool in order to spin, we obviously have to comb it out. In order to have it combed so that it's spinnable, it also can't be matted and filthy, in which case we need to willy it. We need to bang it, get rid of all of that garbage in it so that it can be combed. Otherwise, you can't even do that. Those issues have, there's also a side point which you could say, well, maybe you could do without, which is the leaveling process, which is the washing process, which is actually very much important in order to get the weaving done. The problem that you're going to have in weaving is quite clear. In order to weave a cloth of any significant width, you're going to have to do a horrific job every time of taking your weft thread, your RAF thread, and sticking it up through one and down through the other and up through the next and down through the other, and there may be 100,000 threads in a large loom. And you understand that to do one line is going to take you all day. So that's not a very good way to weave. Therefore, even in the most primitive cultures, every culture developed a way in which it would be possible to weave without doing all of that horrific work. And the simple idea is to make sure that you can pull the threads, alternate threads in alternate direction. Let's say one up and one down, so that you have 1, 3, 5, 7, and so on, going up, and 2, 4, 6, 8 going down, which then leave you a hole. If you put your thread through that hole, then you switch them around, you've got a whole thing that only took you a minute. And that's the principle. The question is how to manage that, and different cultures develop different kinds of looms for different purposes. Obviously, the most effective before you get a powered loom is what you also want to do is you want to be able to roll the cloth. You don't want to just have the loom as big as the cloth that you're actually weaving is, because then it gets completely unwieldy. I mean, how big a loom can you have? So what you do is you put the threads on a round piece of wood that you can roll as you make the cloth. That way you can make miles and miles of cloth until it simply gets too big to sit on the roll. Okay, but how do you move your threads? Basically, in the most sophisticated loom, which you could run with your feet, you would put the threads on what's called a heddle, and here's a nice picture, which is very good. Actually, there is a loom in the Rovaison, in the, at least there was some years ago. It's not there anymore? Oh, well, it was a beautiful loom, really beautiful loom. All right, here is a basic loom that's run by the feet over here. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't make any copies. Okay, you're rolling the thread, obviously we're expanding the distance between the threads, you get the idea. You're rolling the thread onto here, you've got these two heddles.
What did you say?
Heddle. These are heddles, right. Okay, so the actual threads are passed through the alternate holes here. Each one of those holes is called a bait near. The little box that holds them, the square that holds them itself, which is the harness, is called the near. And the small holes that are simply rings that are attached on top and on bottom are called the bait near. At least this is Rashi's chat. I don't think there's an argument. I'll explain to you what the argument seems to be. Now, you'll notice that each one of these moves independently. Each one goes up while the other goes down. They're connected to the foot pedal over here. So as you press one thing, that one goes down, pulling the other one up. Now, when you pass through the shti, which is the warp threads, to the long threads, each one of them is passed through one of these holes. Okay, all the odd threads are passed through one of the nirim, in separate batei nirim, obviously, each thread in a batei nirim. The setting it up is the malacha, is the first malacha of the batei nirim. That's the oseh shnei nirim, that's what the setup is. So the setup itself we consider to be a malacha, because it's, in fact, even though it doesn't make any cloth, but it itself is a creative act that will allow the cloth to be made. So all the odd threads go through one, each thread being put through a different bayit, a different little ring, and all the even threads go through the other one. And as you press right over here on this foot pedal, one goes up, the other one goes down, and you press on the other foot pedal, and then the opposite happens. Each time one goes up and one goes down, it creates a space, as you can see here, in which the green threads are being pulled down, the red threads are being pulled up. The next time it will be the other way around. You then put the shuttle, the buchiar, which we've talked about before, you throw the shuttle in between. If it's a long loom, then obviously you've got somebody on the other side to catch it. And you would have two weavers that would be doing the weaving job. If it's a short loom, then you get trained to do it yourself. One hand throws it this way, the other hand catches it. There's no way to avoid it. You've got to get that thread in between these threads here, and then pull the other direction in order to complete one line of weave. After which, this piece over here, which is a comb essentially, which is called the kirus, is forced down, smashing the orev against the shti, and it compacts it and makes the web, the weave, tight.
Against one of the previous. So it pulls it towards against itself. Pushes it down to be as close to the previous.
The kirus pushes it down.
So it pulls towards it. Since the weave is being built.
It's closer to where the material already is.
Right.
So after you, what's that?
Presumably you're standing, where are you standing? You're sitting on the side of it, correct?
You're sitting over here. You have to be able to throw the buchiar. Okay. Now, any other system basically works the same way. This is a fancy system, but I mean, you can have simple systems. You can have systems like that, which you simply separate the threads with a piece of wood, which can be twisted either this way or that way, and then somebody slides through the buchiar in between. As you open this up, the threads are forced apart. This is very simple. You got another person.
You have two.
Yeah. What do you mean two?
Two pieces.
But they're connected. But you don't need to pull, and then you reverse it.
Yeah.
No. Or you've got the home loom. I think they have a nice picture here. You've got a vertical loom, which is very common, which Rashi keeps referring to, which is used in the home. So this doesn't have the whole fancy setup. You basically will use a piece of wood, and then you use, instead of having the actual kirus, you have what's known as a sword kirus.
You
push down, but it has to be fitted. So that sharp edge has to be fitted in between. This is much more primitive. People do this on the breakfast. It's small, it's easy to control. Obviously, you have only so much width that you can take care of on your own and hold like this. Kippahs are not woven. They're knitted. Yeah, that's an entirely different type of thing. Okay, so now, let me also, by the way, he's got some nice pictures over here of the earlier process. So he's got the malabein. These are like very old, drawings from centuries ago.
Okay.
It's called Marcel Reger's The Book on Auriga. I'm thinking of Shabbos, that's all the different sheets it's on. So you put it into the bleaching pool, you wash it out in the fresh water over here, and you can see the woman doing that, so that's Malabane. And then you have the Minapes. And here's a picture, again, an ancient picture of Niputz, which the wool is put down on this on these spring-type things, and you smash against it, and that way all of the dirt and vegetable matter, matted hair, and so on, falls out to the bottom, and you're left with things which can then be, there's a shiloh, but you have to do it by hand also, which is Niputz, separating the fibers.
So this is not
by hand, there's three different sheetahs in Niputz. So the Niputz, this is the Ramban's Niputz, the Niputz by hand, like this, feeling it your way, is the closing of it, that's Rashi's Niputz, and then you have the actual, what we call Kobin, is Niputz according to other sheetahs, by the Megiri. But okay, this is all part of the first part, which we didn't talk about. Okay, but the Gemara is really going to concentrate on Auriga, because the others are pretty straightforward. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'oreg Shiloshar Chutim B'tchila. The Achat Al Ha'orig Chayav. You have now, says Rabbi Eliezer, you're starting to weave. In order to get a start that's going to hold together, you're going to need to pass through three times your Buchiyar. And you've got three threads now that have gone in to the weft, three weft threads that are running across. And then you've got a start. But if you've already started, even if you only add one, you've done a significant arid. Of course, we know this Rebbe Eliezer Shita from before. His Shita is that any malacha that's mitkayemet because of what's there before, such as writing a letter next to another letter, then that's also a malacha. The Rabbanan, of course, we know, argue on this, for Hakomim Omri. Not true. Bein betchila, bein besof, shiro shtei chutim. It's never more than two chutim. There's always the same melechet ariga, which is defined by the theory of, okay, let's take this and pretend that this is what you got. Is this a meaningful creation? That's all. We're not interested in the context of the ariga.
You have more than two threads, or never less than two threads?
You don't need more to be hired.
Yeah.
Two threads in one direction.
No. Along the, depending how much shti you have, but along the shti, we'll see what the shear is of the, how many threads of shti you need. He's not talking about that. That's a separate shiloh. What's the width? He's talking about along now the length of your ariga.
Two threads, that's 40.
If you put in?
Two threads, that's along.
Those are shti threads. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you have your shti threads here, and you're now weaving. So to weave, you have to put in your ariga thread.
And the weft is what you pass through each time, that's called the weft?
That's called the weft. The other one is called the warp. That's what you're going to be warping, you know, up and down.
So Shesi and Arev are weft and warp?
Shesi and Arev. No. Shesi and Arev are warp and weft. Yeah.
What difference does it make if you have the one, and you have the shti or the Arev, and you put in the other? What difference does it make?
Because you can't weave by putting in shti, so you can only weave by putting in Arev. You can't add a shti thread to a weave. You can only add an Arev thread to a weave. How are you going to add a shti thread to a weave? It's closed by the aura that was previously there, right? So the only way to weave is in the direction of the length of the material. So, furthermore, ha'oseh shtei batei nirim. If you make two of these batei nirim, now, making two of these batei nirim means that you have, the pashtus means that it's sufficient to set up a loom or any other type of weave, such as a basket weave and so on, which we're going to discuss, in such a way that you have two threads passing through those little rings in the heddles, and therefore you have created a space to put in your orif. There are some sheetahs who specifically speak out that creating batei nirim means you have two places between the beit nirim. Because what good is having two batei nirim if there's nothing that's going to be passed between them? If there are two batei nirim in the same direction, where's anything going to go? If there's one beit nirim on top and one beit nirim on the bottom, then nothing's going to hold. So obviously you've got to have two holes. Okay, so this is how some of the Rishonim explain it. That the beit nirim is not the ring itself that we're referring to, but rather the space that is arranged for the orei thread to pass. That's the place, the beit nirim, is the place for the orei thread between two threads. From Rashi's Pirush in the Gemara later, even though I must say this, the writer of this book disagrees with this approach, but from Rashi's approach later in this sugya, the mashma'ut is that shtei batei nirim are significant where you have two threads in the beit nirim and the other thread there ready to pull over. The only thing is that the other thread does not have to actually be placed in the beit nirim to be tried. But you can't simply set up two threads of warp into Bataynirian to do nothing and call that a malacha. You can't do anything with two warp threads. That seems to be the problem. So
you need at least three.
You need at least three. Okay, and I believe that that's the pshat that Rashi is giving in the Gemara, which is fundamentally different than the approach that he takes.
Two up and one down.
Right, exactly. But the one down, the point is that the one down, it's not your business necessarily to pass it through the heaven. Because what you've done is you've set, however you manage to get that other thread up, that's the problem of the weaver. But you have already set up a situation in which the next step would be passing through actually a weft between this warp. And that's what's important.
With two more threads?
The shuttle is the holder of the weft thread. It's called the bouchillon. But there has to be thread in it. The shuttle
but
is not
there
shuttle.
Have to be two threads that are on the same
yes.
heddle.
Yes, exactly. Two threads on the same heddle plus a third thread that's hanging down. That's how Rashi seems to explain the Gemara later that talks about this.
Wouldn't two warp threads, and you pass something through them repeatedly, just create a string?
You don't pass through two. You'll never pass through two adjacent warp threads in the heddle. They have to be between the even threads and the odd threads.
Right.
So if you have two warp threads on a heddle, it's always either two odd threads or two even threads.
A heddle
it won't do you any good. Each heddle holds either the odd or the even.
Any two heddles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So if you make two nearing, either the nearing, either using an actual professional loom, or the same thing is true if you would create two bate nearing in the kiros, because the kiros, which is the device that smashes them down, also holds the threads separate in order to be able to work on them. That's part of the setting up of a loom. Or for that matter, forget about a loom. Suppose you're making a sifter. Suppose you're making a sieve. Both of those things are made with basket weaving. And for all intents and purposes, you're weaving. You're not weaving cloth, you're weaving reeds, you're weaving metal. But the point is you're creating a woven surface to which your flour is going to pass, or whatever it is that you're passing through your sifter. So there it's exactly the same thing. You would be doing shnei bate nearin, even though obviously there's no nearin on a sifter. But by hooking the threads into the edge of the sifter, on either side, you're setting up now the possibility of passing the threads to the other side. And that's the equivalent of making shtei batei nirim in a loom. So whether it's binafa, bikavara, or if you're making a basket. Basket weaving is achieved exactly the same way. So bisal, if you do the equivalent of a sal, you would be chayav. Now after you've got your material, atofer shtei tfirot, so if you sew two, what's it called?
Stitches.
Thank you. For korea, you're always there for me. By korea, I'm not it for shtei tfirot. I mean, being in the business for many years, if you couldn't tell me that, I think you really made aliyah. Or if you tear the area that would allow you now to sew two new stitches, you would also be chayav, assuming that that's your intent. In other words, you're tailoring, not that you're being mekalkel.
Is it different
halacha? Absolutely. Hatofer, hakorea, each stitch. When Rabbi Yitzchak came along, he read in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer omer ha'orei shtei chuti b'tchila. In other words, that Rabbi Eliezer was agreeing with Rabbanan and never said anything about three that's required to get things going. And they asked him, not shalosh, but we learned that it's three, and that it just means three threads. And he is arguing, no? Says the Gemara, this is not a problem. Ha'ba'alimei ha'bikatinei. Depends on the thickness of the thread. And some say that it depends in one direction, and some say it depends in the other direction. Because there's two issues that need to be taken into consideration. The chashivut, in terms of the how noticeable, how meaningful is the cloth that you're affecting. And of course the other issue is how likely it is to stick together, to hold together. Now the thinner the thread, the more likely it is to hold together with just a few threads, because they're able to be backed up tight against each other and support one another in the weave. But on the other hand, if they're really thin threads, it's not even noticeable. It's like, what's the value of it? So if you're focusing in the shiur on how long it's going to hold, then the thinner thread would require less. If you're focusing on how chashuv it is what you've done, then the thicker thread would require less. And that was the bafocus. Amel al-Hagiza. Some say in one direction, namely, alime, the thick threads require three in order to be low sapre, not to simply unwind themselves. But two of thick threads would just fall apart, would be sapre. Whereas katine, if you've got thin threads, then treinami low sapre, because you can pull them up tight against each other, even two will not end up unraveling. Amel al-Hagiza. So the other approach is the opposite. Katina, if you got thin threads, you need three of them in order to make your mark on the world, which is part of a malacha. So tzlata yadiyah, trelo yadiyah. You note three, but you don't note two. Whereas alimi treinana yadiyah. Now, the Braita says, ha'orek shlosha chutim b'tchila, v'echad al harichaya, obviously, even though it doesn't attribute it to him, it must be stama going according to the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. And here the Chachamim are mentioned as those who are cholik on the stamp sheet. The Chachamim omrin, bein b'tchila, bein b'sof, shiuran shtei chutim. Uvisafa shtei chutim, v'rochav shlosha batei mirim. Now, along the, is it called the surge of the material? We have that little mark along the edge. It's like a surge, right? Okay, so along the surge of the material, what they often do is they'll put in a, I'm sure you'll notice if you've ever purchased material, along the edges, it's got like a silky edge in which the in which it's written in thread the name of the company, the type of the material, and so on. And that's called the serge. So what you do there is basically you change your warp threads so that it turns out to be a different, whole different look at the edge. And it's usually very thin and tight to keep it together. So what the material itself is, there's this little edging that holds it together. So now the question is, making the edging and ignoring the material, making the edge, that's equivalent to making a little ribbon. And that's how we look at it. Even if you did things crazy, you left the material alone, and you manually made the edge, you'd be chayav, even if it would only be three batei mirim wide along two chutim. Because you know what? Suppose you would make a little ribbon for your kid. So a little ribbon, people do this all the time. They sell these little silly bracelets, you know, with the magic bracelets. Those are the same thing. So do they have to be orange? I thought they used to work when they weren't orange.
No.
This is Ariga. You haven't depleted anything. You're not talking about the edge. You're talking about the edging. The edging is not my kibbutzim. Now, you said, now that's stama, obviously, for Rebbe Eliezer, right? Okay, now there's another braita that says, Tanya Idach, two chutim on that which has already been woven. Viala imra, war on the surge. It's all chayim. Now that's obviously sound like the chacham. In this braita, Rebbe Eliezer is the dissenting opinion. Rebbe Eliezer is afilo echad. If you're doing it al hagas, even one, ubisafa, and along the edge, shnei chutim brokav, shlosha batenirim chayav, alamaza domal orik sotsukotam, shnei chutim arokav shlosha batenirim. Now you said ha'orik shnei chutim al hagas v'alim v'chayav. Obviously, this braita is stomach to rabbana. Ha'usa shnei batenirim benirim. What do you mean when you say benirim? Omer Abaya, this means tarte b'batenira, v'choda b'nira. Now, my pirush is very simple. There's seven different recorded pirushim among the Rishonim as to what this Gemara means. It's an extremely strange thing to say. Two in the Beit Nir and one on the Nir. I believe that Rashi is giving an extremely simple explanation. What he's saying is that since the Malach is defined as shnei b'tenirim, what use is shnei b'tenirim? And that's what the Gemara is asking. When you say benirim, what use is two threads that are warped threads that you can't do anything with? Therefore, the Gemara is saying it means your responsibility of the malacha is to put in two threads in the Beit Nir, leaving the middle thread hanging against the Nir, and not in the Beit Nir. So the Chiyuv doesn't require three threads set up in Batei Nirin. Two threads set up in Batei Nirin is enough.
On the same side.
On the same side. As long as the third thread, which is the odd thread or the even thread, is hanging in between them, ready to be moved as necessary. I don't really need to program a single thread into a Beit Nir. I just lift it up manually. So there's no point in the Beit Nir. If I wanted to make it tzil-tzul kata, I could actually make it like this. So this is therefore the minimal weave. And if it's the minimal weave, then it's also the minimal setup of a weave. That's all. Right?
Yeah,
makes perfectly good sense. Yeah, I've got two threads going in one direction. One thread hanging limp on the other direction, okay? If I now pass through a thread in the other direction, all I need to do is pull up the loose thread. I don't need the purpose of Batei Nirin is to deal with multiple threads at once. But I don't have multiple threads. I have a single thread. What's the point of putting it through a Batei Nirin? So put through your web thread. Pull up the single warp thread. Put it through again. Pull down the single warp thread. Put it through again. Pull up the single. So on and so forth. And you got yourself a ribbon.
That's such a thin one. You only need one of them.
Exactly. You're basically making a thin ribbon. So if that's the case, if that's the shear of the Ariga, the minimum shear of Ariga, then that would be enough. So why does it say two? Because the third is all near. It's not in the Beit Nir. Very simple. Okay. It avoids a lot of the complex problems.
Therefore, shtei batei nirin is talking about three threads.
Three threads, but two batei nirin. Right. Bekirus. Now, by the way, if that's the case, then the case, then the explanation of the Albeg or others that learn that the Beit Nir is a reference to the distance between two adjacent, odd and even, warp threads. In other words, place to put in and out your web thread is the point, correct? So you have two holes in which it would go in and out, which is the equivalent of a full tefillah. It's saying the same thing. Because when you're talking about three threads, you have two holes. Except that Rashi is saying, but the meaning of the mirror is exactly what we said. It means really in the little ring. But since you've got the third thread, by definition, you have two places for your web thread. And that's what's important. Right? Now, this is extremely rational, because what we're trying to do is define a malacha that can set up a minimal requirement for weaving once I get to weaving. So you've done that. You've done that very nicely. The two threads that are very difficult to move separately, you have in a heddle, and the heddle moves them. The single thread, which is very simple to move separately, you have in your hand, and there you go. The simplest loom imaginable. Okay.
In terms of that sphere, is it just which one stays straight, which one stays...
Well, no, the sphere starts with the weave there. It's combining two weaves.
It's really go like this.
Yeah. Okay, you can look at it. If you would isolate the tefillah so that there was nothing there but the threads adjacent to the tefillah, it would be like two. So that's the shot. Shretate bebotenira, two threads going through the rings in the heddles, and the chodavanira, one thread hanging limp against the heddle that can then be moved as its own. Bikirus, my bikirus, what is a kirus? Amarab mitsuvita. That's the type of Japanese car. That's a comb that is metziv, that makes yatziv, that puts things in its place by forcing the threads up against the existing weave.
What color is this?
I don't know, maybe he has a name here.
Okay, so it's a piece of wood that...
It's a comb, but it probably has, since it moves, probably has a professional name. Reed. It's called the reed. Shouldn't be any space between one line... Yes, and you'll get loose cloth, and it'll just become all bubbly and bulky.
Are these two buttons big enough to make a baggage shoulder? Three fingers
on the side, even a weave or something. No, this is a ribbon. This is a ribbon.
Which is much smaller, right?
Yeah, but the sheer a baggage to use, the gabi tuma, is a completely different idea. I mean, you certainly want it still so cut on it and still crush it. Hatofer states Europe. Well, what's the point of this? We had a Mishnah in which it said all the 39 melachot. It said over there, Hatofer states Europe as part of the 39 melachot. Why are we repeating it? I mean, I understand the Arigo, we're going into great detail. The Tvira, you don't add a word. So why do you say it? Hatzinina babot melachot. Quote, Hatofer states Europe. Unquote. Okay? So what did you add? Well, you're right, I didn't add it here, but I'm going to continue. And should the Kaboy let me say for me? Look at the brilliant ending of the Mishnah. The Hakorea Amanat Litfor states Virot. So since I wanted to say that, I also said the first part. Kotaninami Atofer. I hate to tell you this, but Hakorea appeared in the first mission exactly like that. Hakorea Amanat Litfor Ravot Malachot. You said Hakorea Amanat Litfor states Virot. Back in the Mishnah, you didn't add anything. Oh. Well, okay, the last part is adding, though, which is not, it doesn't appear in our Mishnah. Mishum de Kaboyla Miste Sefer, which is the Mishnah coming up, which is Hakorea Bechamato, Yal Meito. Somebody gets mad and tears his clothes on Shabbat. Or he tears Chas V'Shalom for a mate on Shabbat. Mishumach Gatani Atofer Shteit Tefirot to introduce the sugya, which then leads us into the question of whether it's called Mikalkel or not, to tear something when you're angry or Malach Hashem Atzer Megufa, which we'll be dealing with today. Hakorei Amanat Before Shteit Tefirot Heche Machkachat La the Avda Hikista. Where would you want to do something like that? Well, it's very simple. Suppose you sewed it, and it was sewed in such a way that you've got a bubble. You need to stretch the material out. You can't stretch the material out until you release your stitches. So you got to pull out the stitches, pull the material, and then re-stitch. Very simple. So even though you're going to be tofer in the same exact area as the tefirot, but you have to release the original tefirot. Somebody who tears because he's mad. Or he tears on a mate. For that matter, anybody who just does something that is counterproductive is potter. Now the question is why kriya on a mate is counterproductive. That's something we'll have to look at into the Gemara. The hamekalkel aminat takein, on the other hand, a mekalkel, such as the case we had by Tefira, which the purpose of, although it's being mekalkel right now, but the only reason I'm undoing what I'm done is in order to fix it, there always the shiur is kimitakein. Getting back to the ariga, if you wanted to make the thread originally, for this Ariga, there too the shear would be what would be considered to be chashuv for use in Hariga, and the shiur hamilabein, so the whitening process for aminapeitz, the willing process for tzoveya, or dyeing, or tover, the spinning, is kimlo rocha pasit kaful. It would be the double sit is the shiur. The sit is the distance between the etzba and the ama, so it's that wide, your forefinger and your pointing finger. And then the sita kaful is double that, which is the distance between your thumb and your first finger, which ends up to be double. Okay, the Rambam somehow gets a very different shear than that, but that's the mikubal between most of the Rishonim. So all of the shiurim are the same. Now, orek shnei chutim, how wide of a beged? We said, we never talked about. We just said orek shnei chutim. I mean, shnei chutim on what? On how many nearing? You never said. And obviously it would depend on the thickness of the thread. And actually, the shear is the cloth that comes out. What is the cloth that comes out? Kimlo hasit. The shear would be a width of cloth. In other words, you added your two threads, or putting it as your one thread, along a width of cloth that had already been now done, or it doesn't matter if it's done or not, along the shear of the seam. So even if the entire loom might have been 10 sitim long, and you went ahead and you just threw in your shuttle along a seat length, and you made two rows, you'd be chayav just for the seat. Ramino, hakoreh b'chamatova avilova ameto chayav. Strange that the Braita says that someone who tears, if he's mad, or he tears as an expression of mourning, or he tears on someone who died, would be chayav, not like our Mishnah. As a matter of fact, apa bishu b'chalel ta Shabbat, even though it certainly was not a good idea, yatsa yedei kriya, at least he doesn't have to tear another shirt, you know, he's already yotz the first one on his way to the gallows. Lokash, haba mate di day, haba mate di alma. If it's on his own mate, meaning somebody that is hired to be Korean, so then it's not a kilku, it's basically a tikkun, because this is what he needed to do to be yotz the mitzvah. But if it's on another mate, then he wasn't responsible to tear for him, and therefore it's just plain old mikal kel. Well, but the Mishnah says al meto, it's potter. I mean, isn't that, you just said it's of the mate di day. Well, no, wait a minute. You can have, someone can have a mate di day, who's a relative and very close to, but it's not Machayev Kriya. There's only certain relatives that are Machayev Kriya. Maybe this is his dear cousin who died. They're like twins, but he's not Chayev to be Korea. So if it's there, it's talking about Meito, meaning somebody who cares about very much, but he's not Mechuyavan. So therefore, Ba'anat Rolav B'nei Adenut Nino. If it's not a Chiyav, so then it's a Mekalko. The fact that he wants to express his emotions by being Mekalko is not going to be Mechayev on Shabbos. But wait, if his cousin was a Chacham, he was Chayev to be Korea. So he Chacham will Chiyav on Mechayev. The Tanya Chacham Shemait HaKol Krova. Everybody is his relative. All of a sudden, everybody's his relative. Yeah, of course. You know, my uncle was the... No. Ella, what it means is, Ema HaKol Kikroba. Everyone is like a relative. Meaning, HaKol Kor Imalav. Everyone needs to be Korea, their beged. HaKol Kol Tzimalav. Everybody needs to uncover their shoulders, which was the way that they were further Korea in those days. HaKol Mevarimalav Rechava. Everybody takes the Sudat Avara in the open Rechava, which is what they did on the way back from the funeral. Well, guess what? His cousin wasn't a chacham. No, it's even a lot of chacham. Okay, so you didn't need to be Korea. But wait, if he's an Adam Kosher, you're chayav to be Korea on an Adam Kosher. Why does a person's child die in their childhood? So that he should cry on the loss of an Adam Kosher. What? Kadeshi, if you're you crazy, or Buna Shakrabe, we're making him a guarantor. You know, well, we'll take a couple of kids just to give you good lessons. Don't give it. That's insane. I mean, obviously, that's it. It's a person who doesn't value life. So someone who doesn't care about the death of an Adam Kasher can chas v'shalom lose his own. Anyone who cries over the loss, I'm just a simple man, but who's an Adam Kasher doesn't have to be a chokham. But he will be forgiven all of his avonot. So his cousin, therefore, should have been torn on. So it's a tikkun. Uh-oh. The only explanation is his cousin wasn't no Adam Kosher. Oh, he was a bad cousin. But still, if he was standing there when his cousin expired, even if he wasn't an Adam Kosher, it would have to be Korea. Because he declared b'shat yitziyat neshama chiyuv b'mechayvei. To Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, someone who is standing at a bedside of one who dies has to tear. The Gemara understands it's referred to anybody, even if he's not an Adam Kasher. Halamazed domed. You know what it's like? It's like watching a Sefer Torah being burned. Because as Rashi says, as long as this guy was alive, he had all of the potential of basically being a walking Sefer Torah. In his heart is all of the inyanim of the Torah. No matter how simple a man he is, the simplest Yisrael is that way. So his cousin, if he had been standing there, then he anyway should have torn his begadim. There's an incredible maral that brings a riot from here. That if you see someone going to learn in yeshiva, you have to be Korean on it. Because it's the same thing. Until he went to yeshiva, he could have learned Kol HaTorah Kula. But now that he's going, he'll never know anything. And so therefore, it's the equivalent.
Yeah,
he really does. I don't think he thought he was being sarcastic.
That's when you only learn.
What's that?
That's when you only learn three Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Those kind of yeshiva. He was a yeshiva that learned through shas and taught people correctly and taught them to use their minds instead of quoting all types of people. And, you know. Anyway, so what about this guy's cousin? Guess what? He wasn't standing there. That's the case. Okay. So here it is. Our Mishnah is talking about a guy who's not a relative of Tzbachai of Kuya, but who is a relative. Who's not a Chacham, and he's also not an Olam Kosher. But who wasn't there, the guy who was there, he wasn't present for Shatik Tziyat Shishama. Okay, fine. You've explained the difference between the Mishnah's Meito and the Braita's Meito. So the Braita's Meito was made that he's high on Kriya, the Mishnah's the Meito that he isn't high on Kriya. But you have to explain the contradiction about the other part. He's angry. Our Mishnah says if he's angry, he's water. The Braita says, Bechamato, he's high. How can you explain that? Ah, it's also not a Kasha. Chamato, Chamato, Nami, Lo Kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rotz Melachasha Inat Zechala Gufa Chayav Aleha. I mean, obviously, I'm serving no purpose whatsoever in the object of my tree. So it's Inat Zechala Gufa, right? All I'm doing is I'm tearing to make myself feel better. But, I mean, that's nothing to do with the object. So if you hold the Melachasha Inat Zechala Gufa, you're Chayav on the fire, then I understand why the Mishnah would say that you're Chayav. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who says Melachasha Inat Zechala Gufa Potur Aleha, then you should be Patur, because even though you may feel great about it, but certainly that's not the purpose of the fundamental malacha of Korea, which was in order to be metakein, something that is bunched up. This has nothing to do with that. It's just trying to get your emotions out. Now, wait a second here, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, I mean, you need to be achieving something. You're being mekalkel, because, I mean, what good is coming of this? That's only been metakein, he says, you're chayav melachin tikkun l'gufa. Mekalkel, nishamatli? So Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? You're doing a lot of good for your emotional state, aren't you? That's good. I nani mitakenu. The Gavi nachat ruach liyitzro. His yitzro is feeling much better. So he got it all out, you know.
That's what you get from tearing. Imagine what happened if you kill the guy.
Exactly.
You know.
But wait, a primal scream. Ukehai gavam mishari. You call that being mitakenu? Teaching your yitzro that he deserves a little bit of finessing and you know, once in a while a good tear and a couple of bullets or something. That's not a good idea. That's being mikalkel. Because Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Mishum Chilfa bar Agra, Shomar Mishum Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Amikarea de Gadav bechamato. Somebody gets mad and tears his clothing. Or Amishaber kelav bechamato. He picks up a glass and throws it. Or Amifazer motav bechamato. Now, these are the kinds of friends I would like. Somebody opens his wallet and throws his money around and says, to the winds, I say! Never happened, Rich. I've been hanging around for years. Never happened. It's only when I do the exercises and I pick up a couple of shkalim here and there. I'm a fazer motav bechamato. Yet in echak oved avadazara. For all intents and purposes, this guy is a goner. He's already, he might as well be in the church. Shekachum natosho yetzer hara. That's how it all begins, you know. Hayom omer lo aseh kach. One day it's terrier begunim. Lamachar omer lo aseh kach. And until in the end he tells him, why did you already go? What about his heart? And at that point he's so used to, well, okay, just to make you happy. But hold it. So therefore, in training your yetzer this way, you're not doing a tikkun, you're doing a kilku. So even according to, right, if you hold with Yehuda, you're higher, but that's only where it's a tikkun. It's a kilku, and we can bring a riot from a pasuk. I'm Rabbi Yavi Micro, where do we see this in the pasuk? The pasuk says, lo yeh becha elzar. So what's the difference between the lo yebecha elzar, lo deshtachavem, and one seems more intimate. Lo yebecha, ha, becha means internal, there shall be no alien god inside of you. Now, somebody who's saying the devil made me do it, has got an alien God inside that he's listening to. And that alien God is saying, tear, and he tears, go for her, and he goes. Now all of that is this alien God inside. He's not interested in all of this. So because of that...
Can you use that in court, you know?
You know, well, yeah, that's right. Cases you can. My Yetzirah made me do it.
Maybe that's my job.
Okay, so what alien God dwells within? Now, it says here, two steps. But if you allow that God to rule, the next step is the church. You're only one step away from that slippery slope. And therefore, it would be a very bad thing to tear your begonim on Shabbat. So therefore, you would be a mitakeh, not a mitakeh. It's talking about, says the Gemara Lotzricha, he is mitakeh. How's he mitakeh? He's not really mad, but he wants his kids to think he's about to kill them. So therefore, in order to get the household in terror, he's as cool as a cucumber, you see. But if his kids would see he's as cool as a cucumber, they'd get away with murder. He's got to go through the motions. Like Rabbi Yehuda, when he needed to go through the motions, he was sholef matzpayata. He would take out again, here it's either the serge or would be the basting threads from his begotten that he could put right back in. It would look like he was tearing along the seam. He wasn't really tearing anything significant, but he scared them. Rabbi Chava Yaakov would keep a collection of broken dishes, and then he would slam the broken dishes against the wall. Everybody would think, oh my God, he's breaking the dishes. And so on, so they could get really scared. And Rav Sheshes had an idea that we were going to use for the Daf Yomi, and he was Romilei La'amti Munina Aresha. He would pour out the aquarium on the maid's head, and that would teach her a lesson. It wasn't actually the aquarium, it was the goo, the sauce from the fish.
Brine.
So we actually had somebody in the yeshiva, one of the rabbis would keep a little squirt gun filled with the gefilte fish brine. If you fell asleep! And Rebaba was Tova Nachdama. He would take the tops of pots that were no longer in use, would break them. This is a good thing to show. Yeah, I mean, the Rambam brings person should pretend to be angry. Lemaisa, the Mefarshim bring not to do this because other people don't know that you're breaking broken dishes. And they can actually think that you're really a nut.
Great rabbi can do that.
Can't either.
And this isn't that's why it's not a mental alien Sarah.
Well, it's also a question how. I mean, it's obviously a cultural. In other words, if this is the normal reaction, exactly. There's a certain mode of behavior that's expected. If you're angry, if you're not going to do that, we know you're just angry. The truth is, this is a major machlokas rishon. Almost everyone except the Rambam learns this is why it's not a mekalkel. The Rambam learns this moral issue has nothing to do with mekalkel. Come on, let's be serious. You feel better? So it's mitakein. What kind of it? But it's morally wrong. Great. So on some type of a level up in the sky is a mekalkel. I mean, we're talking about things that are functional for people. And right now there's a great way to get rid of... It's therapeutic, exactly. So why is therapy, says the Rambam, why is therapy any different than tearing on a maid? I mean, they both have their purposes. So this is therapeutic. You could say you disagree with the therapy, but Lamaise, it's therapeutic. Therefore the Rambam says, the Gemara was never questioned. That's called mekalkel. When it asks, I got the mishari. I mean, is that the point? The Rambam was just concerned about the Rambam. The Gemara was just concerned about the presentation. So it's saying, and I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, without saying whether it's good or bad and so on. So it makes it clear. That's all. But la halacha makes absolutely no difference. If you're doing something therapeutic, it doesn't matter whether it's a good therapy or a bad therapy.
Otherwise,
that would be like saying somebody who smokes on Shabbos is butter because it's makal.
Or even the flower, say the kaka on last of the pancake. Then you say no, but it's never is because it's Messiah.
Continues the Gemara, getting back to the crying over the death of a kosher individual. We spoke about this yesterday in the keynote. That someone who cries over the death of any person who's a kosher person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts those tears and keeps it in his innermost chambers. Shenemar, because we find that David HaMelech refers to Nodi Safarta Ata, you keep track, you count the pain that I go through. Sima dimatibenotcha, put my tears into your container. Halobasi fratacha, keep the count in your innermost account books. Amrav Yudam Arav, kol amitatzel behesbedo shel chacham. Somebody who speaks casually, doesn't really put his heart into the hesped of a chacham. Ro'i lekovro b'chaya. It's suitable to be buried alive. That's the probable correct pirush which the Meshech Chachamim gives, is should have been buried in the lifetime of the chacham rather than vice versa. Because since the death of the chacham didn't matter to him. Shema v'yikburu oto b'gul nachlato b'tim natzerech. That's weird. North of the volcano? Timnat Serach in Har Ephraim is north of the volcano. And note, doesn't say anything, as Tosus points out, or whatever. Doesn't say anything about since they buried him. Yoshua. Sounds like, okay, Yoshua's gone. Well, let's get rid of the body. Well, no discussion about any impact like we find with the earlier leaders. So therefore, we have to understand that when it says a volcano, it means melamed shiragash aleihem ahar lahorgan. They were attacked by the mountain because they hadn't done anything to mark the hesped. Omer priya barav, omer geor, cholom itatzel, besbedo shel chacham, eino ma'arif yamin. Midah keneged midah. Look, somebody doesn't care about the meaning of a life, doesn't deserve a long life himself. And you'll say, okay, but life is life. But that's mida keneged mida, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhaga. We know shenamar b'sa'a se'a b'shachat ribena, which we darshan b'sa'a se'a. In other words, mida keneged mida, one se'a for another se'a. That a person's own appreciation of life is what defines the length of his own life. So why should anybody care about him if he doesn't care about lives himself? How can you say? No, that doesn't make sense, because you're saying that the people that were mitatzel v'espedosh or Yehoshua didn't have a long life. But it says b'feirish in the pasuk that they did. V'yavdu ha'am et Hashem kol yimei Yehoshua v'kol yimei hazikedim asher he'erichu yamim acharei Yehoshua. Now, according to you, if the Hargash was going to eat them up because they were mitatzel, then how did they have a long life? Uh-huh. What do you do about that? I think that's pretty good. I got you right from the very pasuk about Yehoshua where they were mitatzel. Ah, he says, note, it says, they had ribui yamim. Huh? They never lived out the year. Does anything about ribui shanim? They had a lot of extra days. Oh, come on. Leman yirbu yamecha. That means you'll have a lot of days, but you won't have years. Is that right? So, let's see it inside. Hey, Babloy. Listen, Mr. Bubblespit. Yamim herichu. Can't you read a passage? It says, yamim, not shanim. It says, Elamiataleman, Yirbu Yamechem, Bimei Benechem. Also means, well, your kids will live a couple of days. Velo Shani. That's context. The context is Bracha. Obviously, Bracha is Shani. I mean, if the whole idea is I'm trying to say that you're going to have a long life, I can use the word Ribu Yamim. The Omer Rebbe Chia Barav Omer Rebbe Yochanan. Echad min Achim Shemek. One member of a family dies. Yidagu Kol Achim Kolam. All the brothers should worry that entire year that they're next in life. Someone from a group who dies, the entire group has to recognize that their impact of that death is upon all of them, and therefore who knows if the gzeira is against them all. Amrila de mate gadol, amrila de mate katan. Some say that's dafka if the oldest died, because that's the once midas adin is shalet on the top, it's certainly going to be shalet that's on the bottom. Others are just the opposite. The klal always begins from the bottom. So when you're dealing with klalar, but then you're matchilim in a katan. Unfortunately, here in the Rova, we've seen a little bit too much of that. Rabbi Yochan, the day Amar Anochi Notrikon, Ana Nafshi Ktiva Yahavit, Rabban Amri, Amir Neima Ktiva Yahavit, Igre Amri, Anochi Mafreya, Yahiva Ktiva, Neeman Yamarea, the very Rabbi Natan Amri, Kiorat, Adarat Menegdi, Yara, Rata, Natta, the very Rabbi Shmotana, Carmel, Kar Malay, Rabbi Yakov, Kilalani, Kilalani, Mretzet, Notrikon, Noe from Moavi, Rotsea, Kutsalero, Toevahu, Rabbi Yitzhakomer, Manadaber, Manitstadar. That's Nechonim anachnu, Tzadikim anachnu, Taurim anachnu, Dakim anachnu, Kedoshim anachnu. HaKotev shtei odiyot b'shtei ha'alamot achat shacharit ve'achat pina arba'ayin, Rav Gamliel mechayev, Chachamim potri, v'maika mifri, Rav Gamliel samar in yidiyah lachatzi shiur, רב אליעזר אומר על רק שלושה חוטים בתחילה ואחת על הרק חייב וחכמים אומרים בין בתחילה בין בסוף שלו שני חוטים עושה שתי בתי נירים בנירים או בקירוס או בנופל בקבורה בסל חייב עד תופר שתי תפירות והקוראי אמנה תקפור שתי תפירות כי עד רבי יצר תני שתיים אייבה ננצן שלוש לא קשה הבעלים היה בקטיני אמר להגיס אלים אי תלת לא סטרי תרי סטרי קטיני איבן תרי לא סטרי ואמר להגיס הקטינה תלת ידי תרי לא ידי אלימה תרי נמי ידי תנו, האורק שלושה חוטים בתחילה, ויחד על האורק חייב, וחכמים אומרים בין בתחילה ובין זה בסוף, שיהיו רק שני חוטים, ובשפה שני חוטים ברוחב שלושה בתי נירים. אבל מה זה דומה? לאורק צלצול קוטם, שני חוטים ברוחב שלושה בתי נירים, ואורק שלושה חוטים בתחילה, ויחד על האורק חייב, סתם רק רב אליעזר. תנידה, אורק שני חוטים על הגס ועל האימרה חייב, רב אליעזר אפילו אחד, ובשפה שני חוטים ברוחב שלושה בתי נירים חייב, אבל מה זה דומה לאורק צלצול קוטם, שני חוטים ברוחב שלושה בתי נירים, אורק שני חוטים על הגס ועל האימרה חייב, סתם רק רבון. הוסי שני בתי נירים, מי בנירים, אמר רבי, תרתי בבתי נירה, וחוד הבנירה. בקירוס, מי בקירוס, אמר רם מצוויתה. והתופר שתי תפירות, התניה בבות מלאות אולי, התופר שתי תפירות. נעץ ביקס בשום בדבר מפני סייפה. הקוריאה אמנה תפור שתי תפירות. זו קטוני נעמי התופר, יק, ספר קוריאה נעמי תנינה. בבות מלאות. אלא בשום בדבר מפני סייפה, הקוריאה בחמתו ועמתו, משום רחי קטוני התופר שתי תפירות. הקוריאה אמנה תפור שתי תפירות, איך משכחת לה? דעת זה כקיסטה. הקוריאה בחמתו ועמתו וכל המקלקלים פתורים. והמקלקל אמנת התקן, שיעורו כמתקן. שיעור המילה בין והמילה פץ והצובע והטובע כמלוא רוחב סיתא כפול. האורק שני חוטים שיעורו כבולי הסית. רבינו, הקוריאה בחמתו באבלו ועמתו חייב אף פי שמחלל אשר שבת יצא ידי קריאה. לא קשה ומת ידיה ומת ידיה ומאי ועמתו גדל. יא, מת ידיה. ודבר הגולה בני אבינות נינו. וחכם הוא חיובי מחייב. תניא, חכם שמת הכל קרובה. הכל קרובה, זה כדאי בלילמה. הכל כקרובה, הכל קוראים עליו, הכל רוצים עליו, הכל מברים עליו ברחבה. לא צריך לדעת חכם הוא. בריאלם קשר הוא חיובי מחייב. וזיין מפני מה מתים אדם ומנותם של אדם, כשהם קטנים כדי שיבכה ויתאבל, על אדם כשר כדי שיבכה, אמונה שקרינה. אז מפני שלא בכה ויתאבל על אדם כשר. שכל הבוכה על אדם כשר מוכלים לו על כל אמונותיו בשביל הכבוד שעשה לו. לא צריך לדעת למה אדם כשר. אוקיי, בריגוי בשעת יציאת נשמה, חיובי מחייב, נתנו בשם מנו עזר אומר, עומד על המת בשעת יציאת נשמה חייב לקרוע. אלא מה זה דומה לספר תורה שני שרפה? לא צריך לדבר כאי בשעת יציאת נשמה. אין אף מתו, ואולי גם אין סופר חמתו, החמתו אצלו קש. חמתו, החמתו נעמי לו קש, הרבי ידע רבי שמן. או רבי ידע אמר לא חיין צריך לגוף החייב עליה, או רבי שמן אמר לא חיין צריך לגוף הפוטר עליה. Yeah, but still, even רבי ידע, is only מחייב ומתקן, נעד ומקלקל, משם איתו. אומר רבו, ונעי נעמי מתקן, יקבי נחת רוח ליצרו. That's called a good thing. I got to be sure, Yatanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon ben Agrash, and Rabbi Shimon Yochum ben Duri. I'm a Karea Begadav Bechamato, I'm a Shaber Kilav Bechamato, I'm a Fazer Neotav Bechamato, Yeh Bein Nefiko Bein Avad Zora. Shkakum Nato Shei Yetzer Ara, Hayom Omer Lo Asei Kach, Omer Omer Lo Asei Kach, Ad Shomer Lo Lech Abad Avad Zora, Bolech, Yoveit. Omer Rabbi Maikro, Lo Yeh Becha El Zahar, Velo Tishlach Abel Anecha. Ezo El Zahar Sheish Begufa Shalada. Ami Yom Ezei Yetzer Ara. אבל לא צריך לדגל לי במירמה אם תאים שדבי תקי עד הרב יהודה שולת בן סווייטר רב אבא יעקב תבר מנית מירי רב ששת רמי ללמיד לעם תאים מוניני הרשע רב אבא תבר נחתנה אומר שום המפז רב שום הלבי ושום בקפורה כל המוריד דמעות על אדם כשר הקדוש ברוך הוא סופרם ומניחם בפית כנזב שני מנודי ספרת אתה שימה דימתי בנותך לא בספרתך אומר רב יהודה אמרת כל המתעצל בהספידו של חכם ראוי לקוברו בחייו שמה ויקבלו אותו בגבול נחלתו בדין העצירה אשר בהר אפרים מצפון הר געש מלמד של הגעש אבל ימר על ההרגם אומר כי אמר אמר יופן כל המתעצל בהספידו של חכם אינו מעריך מידה כנגד מידה שמה בסעסעה ושוחת ממנה עשר רב קיבר אב רב יוחנן ויעבדו העם את השם כל ימי יהושע וכל ימי הזקנים אשר העריכו ימים אף יהושע אמר לי בבלוי ימים העריכו נת שנים זה על מיד על מה אני העריכו ימיכם ימי בניכם איזה ימים ולא שנים לא ברוך השנים לא אומר קיבר אב רב יוחנן אחד מן האחים שמי ידאגו כל האחים כולם אחד מני חבורה שמי תדע כל החבורה כולה אמר לה דמית גדול ואמר לה דמית קטן.